Being here tonight, thankful for the Lord's blessings on the good day He's given us today.
Amen.
And glad to be alive. And thankful for the good peace of God in my heart. Glad to be saved. Appreciate all the Lord does for us. We're a whiny people, aren't we? Complain too much and growl about too many things. God's been good to me and my family, and I thank him for it. And sometimes I whine around about pastoring too much and just dealing with people. But the Spirit of God gets a hold of my heart about my attitude a lot of times, and so He fixes me up. He prails the daylights out of me. You ever have the Lord prail the daylights out of you? And so anyway, He gets me down to where I start thanking Him for the privilege to serve Him. You know, it's a privilege to serve God. Anything you can do to serve God, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to have one of them Bibles you got from your BlackBerry.
Yeah.
You got a good King James Bible there. You ought to thank God for it. Amen. It used to be a great treasure to a family in America many years ago to have a Bible in home. And they just had one. And I went over to visit an old man of God lives in our area back in the wintertime. And his wife had passed away, and there's an old man in my church. I think I mentioned him one night. He wears a pair of big overalls every service. And so he took me over, and he's an old missionary. And of course, he's just kind of retired now, this old feeble, and his wife is in heaven. And we spent a little while in his living room. We had a wood stove going. We carried some wood in for him. And he was telling us about the little house where he was living. It was the house his wife was raised up in. And he got up and walked out, kind of measured. He said the house used to be just come to here. He said there's one bedroom where the mom and daddy slept, and he said my wife, just one girl, she slept in the same room with them, and told how many boys they just piled up out here in this room. And he said they just had one oil lamp. And he said my wife would say, he said they'd have their supper, just a meager supply, and they set that one lamp out there on one table, and they'd get around it, and Papa would read the Word of God, and they'd spend their family time around that little table at night time before they went to bed, and had that one lamp burning. How many families do you know? Why, if that's all families have now, they break out in hives at almost the mental institute somewhere. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, that was the best days of living, raising a family. Amen. I'm thankful for the day God's give us today. I'm not going to complain about it. The Lord's, God is here for such a time as this. Amen. I'm not making fun, but oh, what a time this is. And it's a wicked day. But God didn't leave us here to curl up and die and complain. He left us here to be an influence to people. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to stand up, square off our shoulders, put a smile on our face, and have the joy of God about us, and be glad we're saved. Amen?
Yes.
That's right. And I tell my people, I said, I want you all to stop acting like you're pushing an IV pole across the parking lot trying to get in this church. And I want you to cheer up and be glad you're saved. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. I fuss at it. It's good for them. It's good for me because I get too much steam built up inside of me, and I got to let it out once in a while. All right. Isaiah 45. I'm just going to let you remain seated because I'm just going to read very brief tonight. Just a few words. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Father, help us tonight. I pray to be a blessing to the people. And I pray that you'd help us in this meeting tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to get to come here to Mount Calvary. And I pray your blessings upon this church and Brother York, and bless the people, God. And I pray that you birth revival and give hope and help us to have faith in these days. And Lord, if there's a sinner in our midst tonight, I pray for them that they be saved. And then, Lord, I pray that you would save us as Christians. Save us from defeat. Save us from discouragement. And I pray that you'd save our churches, Lord, and revive us. And Lord, put us on fire for the glory of God. Help us to repent and do the first works and have the joy of God in our hearts. I love you. Help the wild preach in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look through this chapter here, you see some things in chapter 45. And look at verse number 3. And verse number 3. And the Bible says in verse number 3, as it comes to the end, in verse number 3, chapter 45. Here's what he says. He says, the Lord which called thee by thy name and the God of Israel. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. And the Bible says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Amen. You know, that's a good message to preach to Baptist churches right there.
Yes.
I am the Lord. That means He's boss. He's authority. He's God. He has the right to rule our lives. And He's the only one that can rule the church. Amen. He's the Lord. And He's God. And He says, there is no God beside me. Amen. Not even Alabama football. And not even Tennessee football. Amen. That's right. Don't make me work overtime tonight. I don't want to preach it. I can do my holy amen at the same time. All right. Verse number 6. He says that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Have you noticed he keeps repeating himself?
Yeah.
Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. Here's what it says. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time,
who hath told it from that time? Hath not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look at chapter 46. Chapter 46, verse number 8. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So God's put a message on the prophet's heart. And that is, the Lord is God, and there is none else. Not yard sales, not Walmart, amen. Have not antique sales, right? And listen, have not TV, and not internet, and not video games. Amen. I love to preach on them things, because it gets people fired up. And it makes their faces get red, and it puts color into the church service. Amen. And so, I want to say to you tonight, listen, that our God is the only God. And you say, preacher, you don't mean to preach on idolatry in this day and time. Oh, yes, you do too.
Yeah.
Because we have sinned against the holy God. And we have turned our back on the only God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Knowing God, being saved, and serving God's a lot more than getting a baptismal certificate and having your name put on a church roll. And it's a lot more. I know we don't literally wear these badges, but it's kind of like it's a middle thing. We get this, I'm saved, I'm fundamental, I'm independent from any religious organizations. We believe King James only. We believe in standards. But most of those churches, listen, just like the one where I pastor, and hundreds of others, listen, have turned away from God.
Yes.
Amen. And we're not worshiping God. And we turned our back on God. Your average Christian today does not serve God.
Amen.
They don't do one thing without serving God. I appreciate you coming to this revival meeting, but we're not serving God tonight.
Come on.
We're worshiping Him.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Serving God is working for God.
Yeah.
That's right. I appreciate the fact that we like to read our Bible and pray. I hope we do. But that's not serving God. Amen?
Right.
Serving God's doing something for God.
Yes.
Influencing people. Amen? Working for God. How many of you work for God? Most Baptists don't do any work. The only thing they do is warm up 18 inches of foam rubber on a bench.
Amen. That's the Lord.
That's right. Yes. Amen? And so, this is an encouraging message tonight. Amen? It's an encouraging message.
Amen.
So what I'm preaching to you about tonight, I'm preaching to you about how to be saved. How to be saved. And I'm taking my text up right here from chapter 45 in verse 22. And I've read it twice. Listen to it a third time. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of earth, for I am God and there is none else. Well, I got to read that one day, and actually I got the message from a little biography thing about Mr. Charles Spurgeon. How many of you ever heard about that preacher? He's a famous preacher And I want to tell you about Charles Spurgeon. He got the Spirit of God put him under deep condemnation. And he was a teenage young man. And so he got to seeking the Lord. And he was going to several different meeting houses and trying to find help from God. But he gave this testimony at the same time he was carrying that burden of condemnation over sin. He still had a desire inside of him for the life of sin and ungodliness. And he was in a tug of war and in a struggle. And it was on a cold winter day. And he was in a pursuit of God. And he was walking through the snow and the wind was blowing. And he came to a little old village. And there was a Methodist church there. And he'd never been in it. And the preacher, the Methodist preacher, didn't even show up that day. And Charles Spurgeon was about to freeze to death. And so he went in, and a handful was there. And there was a lay preacher that was up behind the platform. And he was already had called his text. And it was Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 42. And Charles Spurgeon sat in the pew, and his eyes were running, and his nose was running, and he was about froze to death. And all of a sudden, just the words coming from that lay preacher, as he read that text, he began to just preach in simple terminology. But the Spirit of God got a hold of his heart. He never left his Jew. He just did what that Bible said. And by faith, he looked unto the Lord for salvation. And God saved him right there. And turned out to be a prince of a preacher. And thousands of sinners were saved under his influence. Amen? Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. You believe God can do that?
Yeah.
He can do that.
Amen.
You know, let me tell you something. Well, sometimes we get guilty, and I do. I raise my hand. But we're driving the truck and hitting a ditch on one side and hitting a ditch on the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that no man can be saved unless the Spirit of God draws him.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. It takes that drawing power. Another word of terminology is just conviction.
Uh-huh.
Conviction. It is a drawing power of the Spirit of God. Sinners are not interested in seeking God, but they'll get interested if they get under conviction. And that preaching of that Word of God has got the power, and the Spirit of God has got the power to put that conviction upon him. Conviction's not up here. Conviction's in here.
Amen.
And it takes the Spirit of God. A man, you can tell a man up here, he's a sinner. But the Spirit of God is the only one that can take that message and put it right here. Amen?
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
And so Mr. Spurgeon got saved. Now, here's what the Bible says. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It's a simple message. But it's a message that needs to be preached. I want to tell you something tonight. You might say, well, preacher, you took an evangelistic text tonight. And I know about sinners being saved. There's a message of salvation that you can preach to sinners tonight about the old rugged cross, and that if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. And you can preach heaven sweet, and you can preach a message of faith. They need to come to a place of repentance and turn to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And they can be saved. Right? But you know what? There's another message of salvation. There's a lot of Christians tonight that need to get saved. And not get saved, not lay again the foundations of repentance. But there's a lot of Christians that have sinned against God. Amen. They sin against God. And unless they repent and get their life cleaned up, their life was headed for a mess. Amen?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so in a sense, we can take another aspect of getting saved and preach it to Christians. Christians need to clean up their lives and do what God said to do. It's not hard. It's just obey God and do what God said to do. Amen? I heard a story of two parents many years ago. They left the two rowdy boys home by themselves. They went out for a period of time one evening and came home. And when they came home, the house was real quiet and they got disturbed about it. And they walked through the house, little small simple house, and they stepped in the kitchen, and in the kitchen was a favorite vase of their mother's. And the boys had been rowdy, and they broke that vase. And there it was in a little pile of pieces. And under that vase, under one of them pieces, was a note. They had found an old crayon or a pencil, and they wrote a note and said, "Mama, we were bad. We broke your vase, and we're sorry. And we punished ourselves, and we put ourselves to bed with no supper." And so when the parents read that, they didn't go up there and drag them kids out and whoop them, because they'd already expressed repentance for their error, right? You see, sometimes we take God as a forked lightning God, and He is a God of judgment. But I want to say something. He's a God that honors people that will repent. Amen. And so our problem, preacher, we can't find God in these days. We can't find God in these days. And there's a scripture just come to me. I'm struggling here. Somebody might want to help me. Here it is. Isaiah 59. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trusteth in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." I want to tell you something. It's not a hard thing to figure out tonight. It's not hard to figure out. We're depressing ourselves trying to figure out why God don't come down on a golden cloud and honor us up in these little country churches. I'm going to tell you something. He tells us right there in the Bible what has separated us and our God.
Yes, sir.
Our iniquities.
Yes.
Our sin.
Yes, the Lord.
I'm going to tell you something. People don't like preachers the name of sin.
No,
but I'm going to tell you something. It's our sin. It is the sin of Ronnie Jones that has cut off the sweet fellowship between Ronnie Jones and his wonderful Savior.
Yeah. Right.
It ain't nothing about my God. It's no error on my Lord's part. He saved me to walk with me and talk with me and fellowship all the days of my life. And if anything dries up, it's on this boy's ticket right here. If anything dries up, if anything gets cold, it's not a hard thing to figure out. It's not a hard thing to figure out. If we'll just do what's right. Amen? Just do what's right. You mothers know what's right. Mothers know what's right. You go home, listen, and pray. Right? Yeah. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. But you know what's right. If ladies, and I say this with love, I say it out of the love of my heart. All the respect. I don't get up in the pulpit and try to hurt ladies and call them names. But I'm just here to tell you something. If you're 60, 65, or 70 years old, you know what's right. You know it's right.
for ladies to wear dresses. Dresses that cover themselves up in a proper way. Now, if you want to run the aisles, do it one at a time so nobody trips over anybody. All right? That's right. It's right. Amen, preacher. That's right. All right? So we know it's right. We don't want to defile the temple. So we don't want to tattoo our bodies up. We don't want to smoke cigarettes. We don't chew tobacco. We're not going to drink liquor. Right? Amen. We're not going to take drugs and smoke pot. Amen. That's right. We know those things. We're also not going to commit fornication and adultery. Isn't that right? We know it's right to pray. How many of you know it's right to pray? Well, you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you do it? Amen? We need to pray. We need to pray a lot. We've got a lot to pray about in these days, don't we? Amen? All right? And it's right to study your Bible. Thank God for coming to church. Thank God for being here tonight. But I'm telling you, and I know you work hard in your jobs, you're weary, but you need to try to spend some time to read the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Read the Word of God. Yeah. You see, these things are simple. We know what's right. Amen? Yeah. If you can't find something decent to wear at the store, it's your sewing machine. Somebody invented that thing one day and just sewed you something, made up something. If you can't do it, there's slaves that know how to do it. Amen? My wife can sew. And so, mamas used to teach their girls how to sew. So, you need to know how to sew. And listen, you cook. C-O-O-K. Cook. You've got to have pots, pans, iron skillets, and a rolling pin. Amen? And you cook. And sing. S-I-N-G. With the joy of God in your heart. And pray. And have a good warm spirit at the house. If we had a good warm spirit at the house, we'd have one at the house of God.
Amen.
Right. Alright. So, here's what he says. I don't know all that was going to come out. But anyway, we know what's right. We know where the power of God is at. We know what to do to get it back. Hey, was it Mary when he performed that miracle of turning the water to wine? And she looked at the servants, and here's what she said. Whatsoever he said to you to do, do it.
Yeah.
That's not hard. Whatever he says, just do it. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do in our churches. That's what we need to do in our Christian lives. Amen. Alright. Now, verse number 22. Look unto me. And be ye saved. Well, it's a simplicity of salvation. Now I want to tell you something. I was talking to a man recently. Back in December, this man got under deep conviction and get a fear of God hit him. Took a day off work, stayed home, and cleaned some things. I didn't ask him what he cleaned out, but he cleaned out. And he had the fear of God on him, and he cleaned some things out and hauled it off. That's between him and God. And then, some few weeks later, he's praying hard. He's seeking the Lord. And he was on his way to work. He told me this story. He's on his way to work into Chattanooga. And he'd been praying at home, praying at church, asking other people to pray for him. And he was just distraught. He wanted to get this matter settled with God. And he was driving into work early one morning. And he just cried out of his heart. And he said, he told me, all of a sudden there was overwhelming peace that just flooded his soul. just flooded me. And he said, I knew I had been saved. He'd been listening to so many different people give so many different opinions about salvation.
Yes.
That before he got to work, he started thinking about all them other opinions. And there was a fear of mind that hit him. In fact, he told me, he said, I made up my mind that when I got to the plant, I was going to go in and tell my fellow workers that I got saved crossing the ridge. He said, but before I parked my truck, he said there was a fear of mind that came. He went in turmoil. He got a hold of some preaching tapes by Terry Pace and Billy Mitchell and saturated his mind and learned some things about faith. And about a month or 6 weeks ago, I started observing that y'all might not agree with this, but this is his testimony. I started observing a distinct change in this person. A distinct change. And so I couldn't stand it anymore. The other day I asked him, I said, what has overcome you? And he said, you remember I told you about when I crossed that ridge, and out of my heart I cried out to God, and there was peace. And I said, yeah. He said, I got saved back then. He said, but I've been in such fear of being deceived. I've listened to so many people's opinions that it's caused me a fear of mind. But he said, through the preaching of the Word, it comes to my heart that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, that's where my peace is at. And here's what he said to me. He looked at me and he said, that is salvation. That is salvation. You know what I say? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what I say? It says about that? Amen. Look unto me and be ye saved. Amen.
Yeah,
that's right. Now, is your home a mess? I know some homes that are in a mess. I could take you one tonight of a man that used to preach. And he's made a wrong turn. About six kids. He made a wrong turn. And they're in a mess tonight. The kids have gone bonkers. Whole hog in the world. Mom and Daddy's talking about divorce. There's some homes that need to be saved tonight. You say, preacher, what do you think the remedy for a home like that is? Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, be ye saved. Faith in God.
Yeah.
Amen? Just repent and renew your faith in Christ. There's some Christians tonight. I've seen some of them turn out of my church. I'm worried about a young lady tonight. And I think she can get restored. I don't know if she needs to be saved or what she needs. But I'm concerned about her tonight. And I'm convinced that verse of Scripture right there would renew her. I'm going to tell you, hey, that verse of Scripture right there would be a good verse of Scripture to preach revival meetings to churches.
Yes, sir.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Just real simple. Look unto me and be ye saved. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
That's right. You want to know this? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not against sports. I just preach against it if you're making a god out of it.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
Say, preacher, how do you know when Baptists make a god out of sports? It's this time of year. Before the preacher says, all right, let's everybody take a seat and get ready to start a worship service, all you hear in the aisles and in the vestibule, everywhere, is that play and that score and that run and that win and when they playing and that fella in that house full this and that and that. You know what? Hey, a church like that can be saved if they'll look to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. And that'd be a good verse of Scripture to preach to some little old local Baptist church somewhere that's having an antique car show out in the parking lot.
Come on.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Hey, I'm being sweet tonight. This is sweet. I'm being kind. I'm not being smart out, but I'm being honest with you. Look, this is just simple. Look unto me and be ye saved. Husbands and wives are barking at each other like an alley cat and a junkyard dog. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you'll get your eyes off yourself and look unto the Lord and put your faith and trust in Him and do exactly what He tells you to do. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. That's not hard. Just do what God says to do. Amen? You don't need to go to a marriage counselor. It's right there in Isaiah 45, verse number 22. Just do that right there. Amen? That's right. You've got a wayward child, show them that verse right there. Amen? And I will tell you something. I think there's people that have been saved, but they're so distorted and messed up. They listen to so much junk. They're probably not messed up as far as getting saved and getting lost and getting saved and getting lost. They know such thing as that. They're just messed up in their head. They're messed up in their head and they're confused. It's not a hard thing to do. God wants to save sinners. He wants to save sinners more than sinners want to be saved.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. All right, I'm going to give you a few things, and I'm going to be done tonight. I've got to study this very just a simple little thought. And so, when I look at this verse 22 in Isaiah 45 here, it means some things. It gives an indication of some things, which means things that we need to take notice of. Now, I just want to mention these things. Number one, when we read this verse right here, it indicates a helplessness. You know who I am? I'm helpless. And we as a people are a helpless people. Is that right? Sure. We're a helpless people. We're helpless. Amen. You know why I mentioned that thief dying on the cross? And he said this after he rebuked the other thief. He said to the Lord, "Lord, remember me." You know why he said that? Because he was helpless. He couldn't do anything for himself. So he spoke in feeble, dying words, but words of faith. He said, "Lord, remember me." And so it indicates a helpless condition. You remember that fellow that was on the road to Jericho? And he got robbed, and he got beat, and he was left half dead. He was left to die. And the priest came by and the Levite came by and they didn't have time or couldn't do anything for him. But the Good Samaritan came by, which is a picture of our Lord. Now our Lord, he came to stop along ditches and pick up sinners. Aren't you glad? He came to stop beside ditches and pick up sinners. And so our Lord stops. And he gets off his beach. And he gets right down in that ditch where that sinner is. And he gets his blood all over him. And he gets his sweat all over him. And he gets that sinner's dirt all over him. And he speaks words of comfort. He said, "Oh, friend, what has happened to you? All evil has come upon you. But don't fret. I'm here to help you." And listen, he poured in oil and wine, and he cared for his wounds, and he lifted them up because he was helpless, and he set them on his feet, and he took them to an inn, and he paid the money for the innkeeper to care for him. Amen. Because that fella had been robbed and he had no money. The Lord's got money to take care of you tonight. He's got the Holy Ghost available and he just wants to lay you over on top of him. And he'll put you, and you know what that inn is a good picture of? It's a good picture of the local church. Amen? Our churches, God left our churches here to take care of sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. That's right. There's a strength in the local church. I highly recommend, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, that you need to be baptized into a local assembly of believers. Amen. And get in there with the man of God and love on people and help that church and be a part of that church. And so it indicates a helplessness. Hey, maybe you don't need help tonight, but I need help here. I'm helpless tonight. I have cried to him coming all the way down the road. I cried. I sat over there, bowed my head and prayed. I knelt back there and prayed. And I said, Lord, and there's been coming down the road, sitting over there. I just earnestly, I said, Lord, if this meeting tonight is based on what I feel in my heart, I sure do need you to come help me. Because I'm feeling a little distant and cold tonight. And I need some help. You say, preacher, if I was you, I wouldn't have said that. I don't care a bit in the world to say that. I am a helpless creature.
Yeah,
without him, I have no abilities of my own. Amen? And preaching the Word of God is a very great thing. You know what our problem is? This matter of getting saved and being right with God, we've made light of it for so many years,
and
decades now. It's meaningless to us.
Amen.
Our Savior is our credit cards. Our Savior is our entertainment, our credit cards, and our job. Well, what you going to do when the Lord jerks all that out from under you? You say, well, he ain't going to do that. Just hang on.
Yes.
Just hang on.
Amen.
I'm not a prophet of doom, but you just wait and see. You hear me? All that work we've done, I've got some ladies that do work and they go out and clean some houses. I've got one lady in my, and she invited my wife and I one day. She said, I just want you all, if you've got time one day, come by this house that I'll clean. Well, I held on my wife's hand in that place. Because if I turned the corner, I'd been lost. I've never seen such a house. Thousands of square feet. I'm talking about up 6, 7, 8,000 square feet. Levels, rooms, massive ceilings. All kind of money and fine things in that house. Things like I've never seen before. I just couldn't believe it. All kind of, I think this whole switch somewhere on the wall back here is a pretty modern device. It don't take much effort at all. You just flip that thing. But you know what? Hey, she showed us a room where there's all kind of computers up the wall that are controlling the temperatures and the circulation of the water and controlling the timing of the lighting and the lamps all through the house. I never seen such a light. And I'm here, you know what? And you know what? All that stuff has caused us to leave God.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. It's caused us to leave God. Well, and you know this is the truth. Back when a man pulled up in a wagon and stood out in the middle of nowhere and looked at some timber, and all he had was one cross-cut saw and a double-edged axe, and he looked at that covered wagon, and he knew he had to buy a plow and start turning new ground and chopping trees and building a house. You know what? That's why there was a lot of families that knew how to pray. Man, they were afraid. They had the fear of God. They had to get a crop. They had to get something to eat. And I'm here to tell you something. We are a helpless people. We're helpless tonight. We need to get through that. Our help tonight. And this one. Indicates and helplessness. Hey, you know what this is based on? based on a cry. Back there in Numbers, it's chapter 21 or chapter 22. I think it is somewhere in chapter 21 or chapter 22. I can't remember exactly where it is right now. But it's based on a situation where Israel complained and murmured against God. It's in Numbers chapter 21. They complained against God, and God cursed them with fiery serpents. And then fiery serpents were biting them, and they were dying. And Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord told him to fashion a brazen serpent upon a pole and preach a simple message. Look and live. Look and live. Right? Look and live. Now stop and think. And fiery serpents were biting. So if one of them Hebrews got bit, they'd already seen the effects of those bites affecting their loved ones already. And they knew that the bite of that serpent was deadly. So if one of them got bit, fear would come. Fear would come. And it would probably swell up, and then they'd feel a numbness. And then maybe a sickness of gut, and then a weakness and a dizziness and fall on the ground, and the thoughts are pounding in their head, I'm going to die from this serpent. But in the hour of weakness, there was an old white-haired man of God that was over on the hill. He had a pole holding up in the air, and he cupped his hand, and he would say to Israel, look and live. Look. You know how they had to look? They didn't look, say, you know what? I think I'll try it and see if it works. No. That's not how they looked. But they had to look with a faith, knowing that that look would save them. That brazen serpent was a type of our Savior on the cross. That's right. Brass is a type of judgment. The serpent is a type of sin. The pole was a type of the cross. And it was all a picture of salvation. Are y'all with me? Look with a faith in your heart, knowing that you can be delivered from that. It's a picture of helplessness. Look here. What else it indicates? It indicates a confidence. He said, I'm God. If God can't save us, then we're goners. Amen. My confidence is not in the Social Security system.
No.
My confidence is not in the White House or the Capitol or this upcoming presidential election. I had to go take my Ford in and get the oil change today. I sat in one of the waiting rooms, had a big flat screen up there with Fox News, and there was flashing, what's his name? Trump. He made me want to puke. Up there talking about what all he's going to do and what all he's going to do. And I get sick of that politician lying mess. Don't you all?
Yes.
I get sick of that. We haven't known a righteous statesman running for president in decades in this nation. Everybody! We haven't known one. And so, I'm kind of watching a couple of fellas. And I know you're not supposed to preach politics, but I ain't going to say this. I'm not watching Obama, and I'm not watching Hillary, and I'm not watching Trump. Miss Hillary needs to go home and find out what an ironing board is, and an iron skillet, and a washing machine, and a dryer, and she needs to go back to doing what she hadn't done in a long time.
Right, brother.
And she needs to close this.
Yeah.
That's right. I've got a bad problem running commercials. It indicates confidence. It indicates an expectation. That's what faith is. The Lord's going to help us. Hey, I wouldn't be here. I'll be turning 60 this winter. And so if the Lord don't come back for 10 more years, I'm not going to make it unless I've got an expectation that God's going to see me through.
Right.
And I'm confident. And I've got, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I preached all my life. I started preaching before me and my wife got saved. We're going to celebrate our 40th anniversary in December. And so I've been a Baptist preacher all my life. And I've worked some side work here, some side work there, a little carpentry work and whatever I can pick up here and yonder. But I'm not a wealthy man. And sometimes when I get to thinking about our future, humanly speaking, the devil jumps up right there on that right shoulder and he says, "You're a goner. You've wasted your life serving God and preaching the gospel." And I get to fearing a little bit, and the Lord tugs on my heart. He says, "I've brought you this far. I'm going to see you through." Amen. I brought you this far. I'm going to see you through. I've got all that expectation in my heart. In fact, I'm kind of excited about what it's going to do, how it's going to do it. Amen. There's been some narrow escapes. I didn't think I was going to make it. And I call on Him and He's always come through. Aren't you glad for past experiences with God? Amen. Don't you rejoice in that? I'll say this to you young people. Get you some experiences with God. Live for God. Are all y'all homeschooled? Y'all homeschooled? All of you. Well, that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. If any of you young people here go to a public school and you're saved, stand for God. Get you some experiences with God. Pray. Now I'm going to tell you all something. Pray and study your Bible. Stand for God. You've got influences in your life, don't you? You've got peer pressures, some relatives or cousins or some friends in your neighborhood. Stand for God and get some experiences in your life. I'm trying to say something to you to help you. And because as you go along life, you can drive your stakes down on those experiences and say, you know what? This is a fearful time and I don't know what to do about this. But all of a sudden the Lord will remind you what He did for you back when you was 14 and 16 and 18 years old. And you say, you know what? I was in a tight spot then and God saw me through and He's going to keep on seeing me through. Yeah, amen? Yeah. And so it indicates an expectation. It indicates God's provision. The reason you can look unto the Lord and be saved is because He's provided a way for us to be saved. He's made a way for us to get help. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not time for our churches to close up. I'm not going to order a truckload of plywood to board our doors and windows up at the house of God. He's made provisions for us to have a church. We need to keep coming and singing the old songs and preaching the Word of God and worshiping together and trying to be a help to each other in these days.
Yes.
Thank God for our country. Yes. Amen. It indicates a provision. That's right. It indicates God's willingness. It indicates, look unto me, He said. You know why He said that? Because He wants to save. He wants to help us. Did you know He wants to give this church a revival? He does. That's right. And wherever you go to church, He wants to revive that church. Now, I don't know about a nationwide revival, but I believe I can have revival. I believe my little church can have revival. I believe that. I keep preaching in that way. I keep preaching in that direction. And He's made provisions. He's made provisions and He expresses His willingness. It also indicates an answer. Look unto the Lord and be ye saved is the answer. You know what not that I'm a preacher, not that I'm the qualified preacher, but a Spirit-filled man of God could take a bullhorn loud enough to preach from the East Coast to the West Coast and preach this verse right here, and it's exactly the answer for this nation.
Amen.
Look unto God and be ye saved.
Yeah.
Not the Koran, not the Muslims, not the Catholic Church. Hey, not money, but look unto God and be ye saved. Yeah. Hey, yeah. God can restore this land if America would repent and turn back to God. That's right. Say, preacher, what do you think about sodomy? I think about sodomy the same way God thinks about it. God said it was an abomination. And I'm going to say this. Are y'all taping this? You can mail the tape to the White House. Not really, but I think they ought to do. I think they ought to do with Sodom. That's what God told Israel to do with Sodom.
Yes.
Destroy.
Kill.
Put them out of the land. You know what? If we would follow God's plan over all these crimes, I think when they go in and want to cut an unborn child up, I think they ought to hang the doctor and the mother.
Amen.
In the town square and leave them hanging for 30 days.
Amen.
And stop a lot of that.
Yes.
And you take all these coming out of the closet, if they kill them out of the land, why, there wouldn't be some, they wouldn't be jumping around and saying, I was born that way. They weren't born that way.
No.
They weren't born that way. The practice of sodomy is vile desires, lasciviousness. That's what it is. It's wicked. And I'm going to tell you something. I've got a man, and he's a good man. I'd swing over hell on a rotten grapevine for this man. He's a good man. I love to hear him pray. When I call on him, I love to hear him pray. I know he prays. I know he walks with God. But he's got a granddaughter that lives in Alabama. And this winter, she's already set a date. Her and her partner are going to get married. They're going to get married. And they have, and she has sent her pawpaw that comes to my church an invitation. And pawpaw is, believe this or not, pawpaw is actually experiencing pressure from other family members. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Hey, that's just one count. It's spread across this land like a wildfire out of control. You better figure out what you believe and know it in your heart. Make a stand. This nation needs to repent and look to the Lord and be saved. I don't know if this nation will or not, but we can. Amen? We can. That's right. Amen. I got to hurry. It indicates the answer. It indicates a universal salvation. Here's what he said. He said, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. So I could preach this in America, but I could go to China and preach this. I could go to Mexico and preach this. Right. I did one. I've been to Mexico many times. But one time I went down there, Mexico, and I'd been preaching at night in what we call the mother church, and there were some mission works going on. I might have already shared this here. I don't know if I had or not. But we went out. One afternoon, the missionary took us to a little village where they were just starting. They didn't have a building. And so by the time we got there, he told us right in the van, the missionary did, he said, Brother Bobby Gates, he's from over here at Ardmore, Alabama. He's been down there like 35, 38 years. You've been down there so long, you look like a Mexican. We got there and he told us, he said, now there's no building, fellas. We're just going. He said, Brother Luis, and that was the preacher that was starting the work in this village. He said he's just having church services in the dirt front yard of some woman's shack. They're not going in the shack, just out there in the dirt front yard. And I got out here and they've been out there in the village trying to get the folk to come to the meeting. And I think there was one old man and some mothers with some small children. And they showed up. And a missionary come to me. I don't know that Spanish language. He come to me. I'd already been preaching each night in the thing. And he come to me and he said, Brother Ronnie, he said, Brother Lee, won't you preach this? Well, honestly, I thought Bobby, this is his work. I've been preaching every night. Let Brother Luis go ahead and preach. And he looked at me and he said, he said he wants you to preach. And I said, no, Bobby. I said, you tell him to preach. You tell him to preach. He stared at me like he wanted to knock me senseless. He said, well, whatever. So he walked off. And when he walked off, the Spirit of God smote my heart. I mean, smote me good. Here's what he said. He said, Mr. Big Britches, too big to preach out here in the dirt to these Indians? Man, I was ready to fall. So, Brother Bobby come back again. And he said, Brother Ronnie, he said, Brother Luis said he knows. God told him he's supposed to preach. I dropped my head and I said, Brother Bobby, I'll do my best. And I dropped my head and I said, Lord, I don't know what to preach out here. I don't know what to preach. And he said, you turn around. And I turned around and there was some old chickens round over there around an old scrubby fence. They've just been hanging out there. Oh, chicken manure and mess over there. And you believe this or not. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, you go over there and hold on to that fence post and plant your knees down that dirt and talk to me. I did. And I apologized. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll be honored to preach if you tell me what to preach. He said, you get up and go over and tell them about John 3:16. So I opened my Bible and I did the best I could to preach about the Savior. That God loved them people so much that He sent a darling Son from heaven, robed in flesh, took their sins on a bloody cross, died, was buried, and rose again the third day. They could be saved if they would just turn in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how I said it. Brother Bobby had to interpret it from me to them. And I just backed up and said, I'm done. They gave a little old simple invitation. I think one of them fellas was strumming on a guitar. And one of them mamas fell down that dirt and called them God. Lord Savior. It indicates a willingness. And I thought to myself, I'm a long ways from home. Down here in this old dirt infested, nasty, hot village. If they'd left me there, I'd just die there because I didn't know how to get out of there. But I thought to myself, the precious Holy Ghost is so sweet. He cared enough to come to me, and he cared enough to come to that Mexican woman. That's a good message right there in Isaiah. It's a good remedy. If you just do it tonight, get your head up off yourself and look unto the Lord. Be saved from your dilemma, your defeat, your rebellion. Save your home. Start praising God. Doing something for the Lord. Touching people's lives. And press on. This thing's coming to a close. I don't want to cross it. I don't want to quit before I get to the finish line. Do you? No. I probably can't. I know I can't win the race. But I'd like to finish the race. Like to finish. I don't want somebody to have to carry me across the line on a cot. I don't want to have to keep propping up on preachers and other Christians to keep me going. I want to have faith in Him. Amen. I want to look unto the Lord. See, you can do that whether your wife does it or not. You can do that whether your husband does it or not. There's look unto the Lord and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I love y'all, and I thank you for having me. I tried to do my best. I tried. So I hope I've preached something that's been helped you. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask the parents to come. Preacher, why don't you come?